What is strategy all about? How do great organizations develop and work with strategy? These are questions we'll be exploring now. Welcome to the Value Strategy Pod, where we decompose the strategy of some of the most interesting organizations in the Nordics. I'm Tala Scherfsvik, and I hope you will join me in the quest for knowledge about how to think and do strategy. So I'm sitting here with Mona Skara. I've heard from people that you are one of the most interesting strategists in Norway, so I just had to have a chat with you. You have an amazing background. You've been head of development at the Norwegian tax authorities, and you know, for foreign listeners, it might seem a little bit boring to be at the tax authorities. We'll dig in a little bit more into that. And you've also been working and as part of the top management group at Innovation Norway, which is another organization that we'll talk a little bit more about. And then I know you've worked in the tech industry for many years in different functions. And I think that also kind of colors a little bit about how you think about strategy. But first of all, I want to hear a little bit more about you, Mona. Who are you, actually?
Well, I think in this context, I like to work with really challenging problems and work with the great people to do new things. And I think that sums up also how I've been working with strategy, which is not a more traditional, you know, finance and market-oriented analysts and things like that. Also, obviously, have to do that, but more working with digital transformation and doing this both in big firms and in small startup companies. So it's a varied background, and also in public sector, which you mentioned with the tax authorities.
Yeah, let's go into that a little bit, because strategy is usually maybe not something we think too much about, at least business strategy in the public sector. But I think, at least in Norway, we hear and see a lot of that. And can you just tell us a little bit about, you know, what, you know, how does tax authorities think about strategy or Innovation Norway? And what are these organizations? What are they about?
Well, the tax authorities in Norway, they were very early adapters to technology. They made self-service and digital services a part of their sort of value creation process early in the 90s, actually. So they have a long track record of actually making great digital solutions, being making it simple for the inhabitants to actually do their taxes and be very open and trustful. They have a lot of trust from the community because of that. And for me to come into the tax authorities, they are so professional in the way they do both strategy and the way they implement, like they have implemented AI and predictive models now for many years. And one of the things that we did in the new strategy was to say that, well, we need to take this and we have to do it in a big scale, because we have so great gains of doing this, both when it comes to customer dialogue and when it comes to detecting fraud, for instance. So we need to change our organization in order to do this at a larger scale, like a tech company would do. And it sounds a bit strange for a tax authority to do that, but we have actually good documentation of how this actually make us deliver the we have sort of a task from society to do things, to collect the taxes, to secure the income for the state, and it works. And then just to have that kind of things in a strategy for a public sector company, that's it's unique, and it has been very a fun experience, and also very, I've learned a lot from it.
Just one point, because I think you have an interesting slogan, because sometimes when we watch American movies and they talk about the IRS, it's like talking about the police. It seems very, you know, threatening and challenging. But you have this, you want to make it easier for people to do this, right? You have some kind of slogans that I thought was interesting. Can you just talk a little bit about them? Easy to make it right, or I don't know, something
like
that.
It's not the task that we have in hand. It's not to make collect the most taxes. It's to do it correct, you know, that that people do it correctly. And we know that most people want to do it correctly. And if we make it easy for them, much more of the citizens will do this correct. And that's the one part. The other part is that we also can use technology to make it more difficult for the ones that actually don't want to pay their taxes or try to operate on the side of the law, and you can also use technology for that. So in that sense, the tax authorities is trying to make it easy for people who want to do the right thing, and also try to make it a bit more difficult for those who do not want to comply.
That's super interesting. You've also been at the Innovation Norway. Can you tell us a little bit about that organization? What is that about?
Well, it's a public sector owned organization, but the customers are innovative companies that need risk capital, loans and grants, and also can help with introduction to new markets. Like, they have offices all around the world to help, for instance, the new startup company in medical technology gain a contract in the Indian hospital or a Canadian hospital. So it's a public sector owned organization, but it's very much working in the entrepreneurship and innovation ecosystem of the companies, and that's also a place where you meet a lot of interesting companies that sort of live their strategy. And if they don't live their strategy, if they don't succeed with their business model, they will actually die. So it's very, very, very much the only thing for them to actually make their business model work and succeed and get prove that they have something of value for the customer and that they can attract more customer and attract investors. So we're working often in the very early stages of the company before it's mature enough for the banks, for instance, to go in with their kind of capital.
Do you have a couple of one or two examples of Norwegian companies that actually you kind of remember and that use strategy for something useful in their how to approach the market or how to develop themselves or how to kind of get customers that you want to mention from that period working at Innovation Norge?
Well, we have, I can give you two examples. One of them is called Elliptic Laboratories. It's a very strange name, but it's actually making smart sensors using both ultrasound and AI. And they were founded in 2006, long before we all started to talk about AI now in this new wave of AI. But they are actually implementing and they are implemented in a lot of mobile phones and laptops all over the world, actually, with their quite unique technology. And to be so bold as to say, well, this technology is different. We can do it much smarter. We can use another type of technology to recognize how far away you are from the PC, for instance, and turn down functions when you're not there. Very easy things, really, but quite technically demanding to do, at least when you started up in 2006. And to be able to think that a small Norwegian company can do this, it says a lot about the founder and her team. And another example, which is in a very different area, I would say, is the electric ferries, in 2015, they designed and put into work an electric ferry, which was the first in Norway, and it's grown a lot. And now it's quite usual to order sort of an electric ferry and have the equipment to do the loading on while the ship is on board. But that is also one example of very taking a very traditional sector in Norway and really changing it from the inside and dealing with both electric ferries but also hydrogen, other fine to make it much more sustainable, and to work with those kind of firms that have such ambitions and they are so bold in doing this, and they risk a lot also. So that's, I think, two very different examples, but the kind of companies, and you learn so much from working with them.
I think that's very interesting. Since we're an electrified nation, we have an extremely high penetration of electric vehicles. I think among the highest in the world. And yeah, we also are increasingly, you know, our ferries are increasingly being electrified. So this company also seems like a forerunner in terms of this change and development, which I also think is super interesting. Do you have an interesting, fun, like challenging story about strategy that you would like to tell us? That you can share?
Well, I think when I started working with strategy, it was actually called strategic planning. You know, we were working with Porter and all guys of strategy, and we were talking a lot about doing the right analysis, having the right idea, and we were not talking that much about innovation. We were not talking that much about digital disruption of blue ocean strategies and doing really new things or implementing the strategy also. So I've been part of a lot of processes where you have this idea that you can buy a company, for instance, and integrate it, and you can have all these synergies and on the cost side or market entry or whatever. But the synergies don't appear because you're not willing to put in the work in order to shake the people together or break down the silos or actually take out the synergies in competence. And that happens a lot, you know, that you just have this fancy plan and you have this good idea that this is going to be a great fusion of two companies, for instance, and you don't actually get out the gains and you don't actually create any value if you're not willing to do the job of implementing it and making the people work together or implementing that IT system that can take out the synergies between the, for instance, three different firms. So that's some bad examples of how not to do it, I think.
So what is strategy for you, by the way? Do you want to share that?
Well, I'm not very academic in that sense. So I would say it's about making choices and being willing to stick with them. You know, not necessarily. You might have a business idea and you test it in the market and then you pivot. So in order to get it right. But I mean, so many companies that I've been with, they have good analysis, they have good plans, good ideas, but they are not necessarily very good to show their employees or their board or their management what is the actual direction. What are we going to do less of in the future in this strategy? What are we going to stop doing? So that would be an advice I think would be important to bear in mind, that it's actually making a choice and sticking to that choice and being very clear on what we're not going to do. What are we going to stop doing? Not what are we going to do more about, because that's easy to say, but what are we actually going to stop doing in the future?
So, and then what about the thing that, you know, you might not as a leader be allowed to enable a strategy actually to happen if you're not, you know, in terms of communication, working with people. Is it so that, you know, every strategy should be implemented, or do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think I've always worked with companies that have people with a lot of skills, and they are very proud of their work, and they are and you need to convince them of why you're doing this. Why is this going to make it any better? And I think that is not opposition or resistance to change. That is sort of something that they deserve to have. If you don't have a good answer on why you're doing this and how it's going to help, then you really don't deserve to get people with you. And working with organizations, especially if you work with highly skilled employees, that don't change something without insight. Don't try to sort of mumble it into nice words and not really explaining why is this going to be. And of course, there will always be people that you can't, that will not be there, that will stand in the, when the train leave, they will still be at the station. And that's okay. But you need to be able to say that, well, we're going to do this. This is a change for us. And it's going to be better in this way. We do this because. Because if you get them on board, then it's it's not easy, but it's more fair that you are able to actually accomplish something. I think the tax authorities are very good at this. They started from day one with a new strategy to think about how we're going to communicate it, how we're going to educate our leaders, how are we going to change the actually measurement systems, the performance management system, so that implementing the strategy is also something that you ask of your units, not just the daily operations, but also how has your contribution to the implementation of strategy been. So it's possible to work with this, but then you have to be quite clear on what you're going to achieve and why this is a better strategy. How is tax collection going to be better by doing this change?
I just kind of like the perspective that you talked a little bit about, like, you don't deserve the change. Like, it's not that, you know, a lot of leaders, they complain that I made this great strategy and it was never implemented. You know, why don't people, adopt my strategies? You're like turning it a little bit on the head and saying like, well, I need to deserve that, you know, people actually do change. It's not something that's given, that since the idea is good, I assume that they're going to change. So I kind of like that perspective. You want to elaborate a little bit on that?
Maybe it's not a good idea. Actually didn't get it. Maybe it's the changes that we suggest is actually not going to make it easier for taxpayer to do their taxes. And if not, why are we going to do it? And I think you need to listen to those insights. Sometimes they are correct. Sometimes they are wrong. But I think everyone needs to. It is okay to think that I might be wrong. If you're very sure that you're right, then you have to do the job of convincing the others that it's actually a good idea. But I think also when sometimes life just happens, you know, it's not you never know if your timing is bad, for instance. So I think that's also an important thing when you work with strategy and you work with change. Sometimes things don't get implemented real because it wasn't the right time. It wasn't necessary. It could have been a perfect analysis. It could be a perfect idea, but the timing was bad. So also to be a bit kind to yourself when that sometimes happens, actually. Mm.
I like that, being humble and being kind and working with strategy. I think that that's also something to think about. Do you want to give a last advice from the 30 years that you've worked with strategy and you're working technology with innovation? You have a lot of experience. What type of advice do you want to give to people who's, you know, starting to work with strategy or in the middle of a strategy process? Is there some advice you could give?
I think you will need to differentiate. If you're in a very mature market and you're working with strategy as a sort of fixing, making small things better in order to keep your position, it's a very different thing than to work a bit more like blue ocean strategy, trying to see how can the things that we know be used in another way, or can we really change what we deliver? That's two very different processes, and you need to be humble, I think, on what is needed in those two processes is very, very different things. So that's maybe one thing. And to get people to get their heads up from their sort of daily work and be able to see the opportunities, for instance, and also threats in new technology if we don't apply it. It's very, very fun to do it, but it's also very risky. So you need to be willing to be laughed at and willing to take some chances because maybe it doesn't work. Maybe you don't get it right. And that's also a thing when you're working with strategy more as technology, change, diversification and innovation, then you need to be able to live with the fact that you might not get it right, at least not the first time. So be kind to yourself.
I think we're pretty kind to ourselves, and I hope we got something right this first time. We don't have to do it again. I think so. So that's really good. Now the only thing I need to say is thank you, Mona, for joining us. It's been a pleasure. And I think it was so fun that you were sharing all these experiences that you have in strategy across both the private and public sector, small and large organizations. So thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.